Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Kat. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kat Nguyen. I am a writer of spicy, smutty, high heat, whatever you want to call it, rom-coms, and also of quote-unquote unlikable heroines. And I am currently working on the second in the series of my books. I just published one called Partner Track, which I know you'll talk about briefly. And also, I am working on a few high concept, spicy, darker rom-coms right now. And aside from that, I host a podcast with a good writer friend. Her name is SJ Tilley. The podcast is called Tall, Dark, and Fictional, which is a podcast about romance fiction by romance writers. And that's me. And I have two dogs.
I love this. Okay, so how did you start the podcast? Tell us a little about the podcast. Tell us the podcast or fellow podcast listeners why we should listen to and your origin story.
Okay, the origin story of the podcast is that I love to talk. And I am often talking to myself in the car, just either by myself, purely like a one-on-one person conversation, or I am talking back to a podcast. So at some point, I was like, I think I need to integrate these things. I think I need to actually make a podcast. And the only thing I do really is read romance, talk about romance, and write romance. So I was like, put the things together, right? Mm-hmm. Peanut butter and jelly. And that's how we started the podcast. My friend SJ Tilley, I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's like a pretty popular writer, but she's new on the scene, as am I. And we just have people on, much like you, just to talk about writing, the writing process. And also we talk about books that we like. If we really love a book, we will do an entire podcast dedicated to that book. So, and just like, it's been really cool making writer friends and people in the writing community, just like book reviewers too, that kind of thing.
I love this. And so what kind of books did you have you feature?
We like, what have we reviewed specifically? Okay. So this is going to be a spoiler of one of my most recommended books, but one of the books that I always recommend is Lothair by Cressley Cole. And we did an entire episode on that. And I am obsessed with that book because that was one of my gateway books into romance. That was, for some reason, that book really speaks to my soul. It shouldn't, probably, like on every level, it should not, because I just, you know, I'm not like proud to say this necessarily, because that's a very, featuring like a very questionable hero. But I love it so much. Another one we did was Devil in Winter. I'm spoiling all the books that I read. Devil in Winter was another one of my favorite, another one of my gateway romances. I'll talk about more about that, I'm sure, later. And then what else have we done? God, I think we've done like 45 episodes. So we're working on it. We're not at your level.
It is okay. It's okay.
We're just doing our best here. Okay.
You're doing more than enough. Like, I was just telling you beforehand, I have a well-oiled machine. Somehow it just works and I produce a lot of more episodes, but that's just my own thing. So,
I mean, I will say it's not that I'm doing enough. It's that I'm always doing too much and mostly like not to the best of my ability. Just putting it all out there and seeing what sticks. I like to throw spaghetti at the wall. So, but it's a great podcast. You guys should all listen to it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We all have to listen to it. And especially because it's another romance podcast. Like we get to discover.
Okay, so come on.
There we go. Yay.
Me recruiting. I'm always, always recruiting people.
There we go. All right. So let's chat about Partner Track. Tell us the elevator pitch.
Oh, okay. Let me pull it up really quick because I'm just going to read it straight from, is that allowed here? Am I breaking a law?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. All right. Partner Track. A lawyer tired of being overlooked by the boys club at her firm is torn between lust and loathing when the king of the Ivy League rich boys and her recent one-night stand walks straight into the partnership position she's been gunning for. So basically, It's about a woman who really wants to be promoted, as many of us have in our professional careers. And she sleeps with a man who later steals that promotion. So, and that's just the beginning. So, you know, this idea really came to me from, I don't know if you've ever seen the very first episode of Grey's Anatomy, but Meredith Grey, spoiler for anybody, this is from like 2004, Meredith Grey sleeps with her boss the night before her first day at the hospital. So, little bit of inspiration there.
You had me at Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, right.
It's the ultimate bingeable pandemic, you know, immersive experience. I have a friend who just binged on the whole of Grey's Anatomy, spent like a month and a half just watching all 18 seasons of it.
Seriously, 700 episodes, I'm sure. More than that. Yeah.
More than that. I don't know.
1,000. Yeah.
You know,
just enough or too much.
It's one of those shows that's so freaking addictive. Like once you watch it, you can't stop watching it. And you're like, it's so out of the scope. And yet you're like, I can't stop watching this.
It really stayed with me, clearly. Yeah. I was drawing from it decades later. So
yeah. All right. Completely. So let's chat about the journey to publication. What was it like for you?
You know, it was easier for me than it probably should have been. And story of my life is just like, again, doing things until I get the thing I want. And Partner Track's actually the first book I've ever written. So I had never finished a novel before that. And I didn't know anything about the querying process. I didn't know anything about publishing. I didn't know any, you know, published authors. I essentially knew like 4 writers who were all kind of like trying to just like, you know, twiddling their thumbs like on a critique site. We're all like, don't know what to do. But then I finished it and I got a deal pretty quickly. So it was a big learning experience for me and it was exciting. And the editing process was also exciting. And the rest of it has been extremely fun and stressful. And is that the question you're asking me? Should I answer it correctly? Like how deep in the weeds do people really want to know about this? I don't know.
It depends. Everyone has their own journey. So, yeah. You know, I think it's fascinating, especially for debut authors to hear like everyone's journey, which ones came first, which ones, you know, how many books in the drawer there are, or like, you know.
None. No books in the drawer.
It's exciting. So you're hitting the mark, you know.
Well, I'll say this. It really was about the friends we made along the way, Laura. It really was. But now I have books in the drawer because now I have finished other books. And, you know, once I realized I could finish a book, then I was like, oh, it is like game on. I am ready to go. I've got things to work on. But before it was really, that was like the mental barrier to getting a book published was finishing the book. So to all those aspiring writers who listen, finish your goddamn book. Yeah. Finish it. Yeah.
There we go. Awesome. All right. So let's chat some romance journey. What was your romance journey? When did it start? What was your gateway drug?
Same thing. Completely the same thing. And I don't know your romance journey, and I'm sure you've shared it, but I don't know it because I'm new. So, Will you tell me?
Yeah. So my romance journey, I actually grew up with reading Sweet Valley High, and I grew up reading like those 90s. I don't know if they're Harlequin or something, but they're not Harlequin. They were like romance love stories and stuff like that. They're just teenage love stories that I've listened, that I read. They were problematic probably
because it's fun. And they are. So.
And then I graduated Chick Lit in the 2000s. And I read Jennifer Weiner, you know, Jane Green and all this, you know, and stuff like that. And I actually struggled with finding what to read next. So that's how this podcast came about, because I was like, I was struggling. I did not know what recommendations were like. And so in 2016, I had a different podcast and I had someone come in and talk to me about adult reading. And I was like, well, I'm a reader, so let's talk about adult reading. And so she mentioned there was like a community in BookTube that about book recommendations. And I was like, oh, let me see what is all there. And so I found a video. Those creators are no longer there. But I found a video about new adult romance. And so I started reading the off-campus series of Kennedy. And from the, I had an experience, I used to work in a college. So I was like, oh, it just reminds me of like my experience working in college. And I was like, romance and stuff like that. And I did not realize, I was like, there's a whole wide genre of romance books. And so that started my journey. I read mostly self-published books for the first couple of years.
Love that.
I graduated to traditional publish. And at the same time, I started this podcast, did not know what it was going to be about, but it's here and here or there. And so I've been reading romance since 2016, and I read about, like, I would say about 1,000 books or something like that.
Yep.
You know, like I literally spent 2016, 2018 reading like 500 books. Like, I was like, I had a job that I had nothing to do. So I was reading on my phone. Like, I was just like buying, Amazon algorithm was like so fucking good.
It is.
Buy next, you know?
It really does decide for you. Yes.
So I just kept buying books and I kept reading books, and that's how, like, you know, it came about. But yeah, romance, I read some historical. Right now I'm in a paranormal newbie because I cannot deal with straight white men. Or straight men.
I feel that.
So I need men with magical powers or aliens or vibrating dicks, whatever it is, you know, that's what I'm going for. So I'm reading paranormal. That's like, I'm a new to me genre, but I spend time reading historical. I spend time reading like indie and like regular publishing and, you know, anything in between. So.
Okay. Can I ask you a question then? I'm not trying to throw you off your normal path here, but are you reading / have you read Catherine Moon's Reverse Harem, A Lady of Rooksgrave Manor? And the newest one, is it, what's it called? Cause it is what I'm reading right now.
I have not. I have
The Company of Fiends.
I need to read this because I actually am interested in Reverse Harem. And so I have, like, I'm curious to hear. So please tell me.
Okay.
This book, and why should I read this?
Okay. I have not read A Company of Fiends yet, except for like the first few. Right. So let's talk about A Lady of Rooksgrave Manor. We have a gargoyle. We have, or no, wait, was that it? No, I'm sorry. It was a golem, but I think she changed that because I'm pretty sure there's like Jewish roots to the word golem. And so maybe it was offensive. So I'm sorry about that. I don't know for sure. I think she wrote a note about that. Okay. Of course, that's the only one I'm remembering at this moment. Okay. There was a Sphinx. So it's about this woman who essentially like goes to work at a brothel, but it's like a magical brothel. And she's like very into it. Consent is like a big part of it. And she has many different men who she entertains her. So there's kind of like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde character. There is a Sphinx, like I said, who's also kind of like this kingly creature. Very interesting. There's like special dick accommodations here. You know what I mean? There's also like a marble statue man. So I think that's what she's changed it to. And then there's a man who goes invisible. Sometimes, and I can't remember if I'm missing anybody because I feel like I am, and I've read this so many times, but now I'm on the spot, so I'm freaking out. But essentially, it's a little porny, right? Like, people would call it that, I think, but I saw somebody describe it online as decadent, and I would agree with that assessment. It is a decadent read, and I am here for that. There is just something about reading a book where you just know the author is going to deliver on every single page that is just so exciting and you will stay up all night for, and I highly recommend it. That's from me. So I have been reading that. I lost track. And then I am supposed to answer your question about my origins to romance too as well, right? Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, let's hear okay. Your origins story.
Okay. But did I sell you at all on A Lady of Rooksgrave?
Yeah, because here's my thing of Reverse Harem. The Reverse Harem that I read two of them. They're Bully and Reverse Harem, and I could not deal with that. Like, I was like, it's a little too much of like bully and like alpha heroes and stuff like that. I need like a little more fluffier than that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Then this is definitely for you. There is also a vampire. I forgot about him. Oh. So I'll just put it to you this way. There's definitely no bullying, none whatsoever. It's a very cohesive group of people. But there is a ranking a little bit to the different like people in the harem. I don't even know if reverse harem's not even the phrase we're supposed to use. I don't know, but that is the common one used, so people know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so I've never read a bully romance, so I agree with you there. That might be tough. That might be tough for me. But okay, so I'll tell you my origin story for reading romance. And I've told this on my podcast too. When I was 11 years old, which is too young to be reading most romances, my grandfather, who is also a writer, but who I didn't really know, like I didn't have a relationship with him, but I knew that he was kind of like this mystical figure and also a writer. And I was really fascinated by that. He sent a box of used books to my house one day. And I don't know why to this day he did it, but I was the only one in my family who like cared. So I was just like going through all these books, like I was such a like big reader, as most of us were and are. And I found two books in there that I, to this day, have stuck with me. One was The Robber Bride by Margaret Atwood. Again, I was 11 and I shouldn't have been reading that. But I, even at 11, I was like, this is beautifully written. Like, what a beautiful story of four women, although also a harrowing story. But the other book was Whitney, My Love by Judith McNaught, which I don't know, is a seminal text of the historical romance genre. It is a horribly disturbing story on many levels. A man, you know, sells his daughter to another man, and there is a lot of non-consent happening. And, you know, the creepiest part of the book to me is that Judith McNaught named the main characters Whitney and Clayton after her son and daughter. So that's not a happy... And I didn't know any of these things at the time. So, you know, clean slate, right? I was 11. And the first time I read it, I mean, I had my like tiny little mind blown. I just didn't know that you could write stuff just about a relationship. I thought that was like always the side part of a story, like a more important story that we were telling, you know, that's kind of what like we're taught is good literature. But yeah, I thought it was amazing. And I didn't read another. I was also like deeply ashamed and embarrassed because I come from like this puritanical background, just bad times, bad news, right? Not there anymore, of course. So 20 years later, I went to revisit that book. And I went to look on like the library app on my phone, and I couldn't find it there. But it led me to Lisa Kleypas, who is an amazing historical romance writer. And I thought, okay, I'm going to read this. And it was Devil in Winter, and it blew my mind again. I was like, I can't believe, where has this been? And then I proceeded to read like 700 historical romances in like a matter of months. And then from there, you know, the world is your oyster after that. Like once I kind of like dropped the veil of shame, it was just like, now I'm like wrecking you, you know, Lady of Brooksgrave Manor. I'm like, let me tell you about this cat dick that you're going to experience. This yeah. Human hybrid cat dick.
Vibrating dicks or
right
or whatever it is.
Fame is gone. Yeah, I mean, whatever you like, we can serve it up. And I mean, I guess I should say, like, not the least of these things is that I wrote my own romance as well, and that is not light on the smut. So that's my story.
I love that story. I love the fact that you revisit it and you discover the historical romance, like there's a whole wide game, and then it's like, and then you realize it's like more and more and more of
never ending.
It's never ending.
Yeah.
You can be in romance all year long or like all your life, and you're still not gonna read all of them out there, you know.
And that's what I say, like, even as a writer too, like I think there's a lot of scarcity, you know, like fear to being a writer, I'm not going to find my readers, or there's not space for my book. But that is untrue. Romance is unlimited. The limit does not exist. The space is unlimited. Write your book, make your art, put it out there. It will be there for people, and we will want it, right? Like, look, you ran out of things to read. You needed more things to read. We all need more things to read.
Yeah. And honestly, like romance readers are voracious.
You know? I mean, there's none other. It's give me all the candy all the time.
Yeah. So I interview people who read two romans a day. Like this is how much. I'm like, okay.
So. I mean, I so deeply respect it. You know what I mean? Now that I'm like a writer of romance, it's harder for me to read as much as I did because I find it to be a little bit like distracting from, you know what I mean? Or I can start comparing myself to other writers if I'm like actually in the middle of a draft. So when I'm kind of like in between, when I'm like letting something rest and I'm waiting to edit, that's when I'm just like reading everything. But I'm always reading something. Let's be real. There's always something going on.
All right. So let's chat some recommendations. So which books yes. do you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Okay, well, I already spoiled everything, and I am a person who gives a lot of spoilers. So I would, of course, these are like my evergreen recommendations. And, you know, I have a lot of recommendations, but always The Devil in Winter by Lisa Kleypas. I am a Sebastian St. Vincent girl. I know that's a little bit controversial because there's like a Derek Craven kind of faction that is very strong. They have a lot of muscle. But no, I mean, Lisa Kleypas can write banter and seduction, and the depths of her characters is so chef's kiss unparalleled, and I just really admire it and admire what she has done. And you know, Sebastian St. Vincent is an imperfect hero, I would say, but I just love like a sardonic, witty, you know, beautiful man, because you know he doesn't exist. So you were saying you're like off of like the men in romance, but like I know that none of these men exist. This is all fantasy.
And the Sebastian St. Vincent is that he has shown up in multiple books. He's a
fan favorite.
He's in Spring, he's in Winter, but then he's in the Ravenels, in at least 3 books in the Ravenel. So like,
and he might be a vampire.
Yeah.
Which so, Lisa Kleypas, write that book.
Yeah. So honestly, like if you want Sebastian St. Vincent, you can get your fill. Like Sebastian St. Vincent as a father, Sebastian St. Vincent as a rake, Sebastian St. Vincent as like falling in love when he wasn't supposed to. You got your old fell for him.
He's
a well-rounded individual.
You're so right. The other person, okay, this one I already wrecked as well, Lothair by Cressley Cole. Mm-hmm. These are all like really early on in my romance reading career. And so if you're going to take Sebastian St. Vincent and like turn him up 1,000 notches and make him just like, you know, bring out his evil side, I think that's going to be Lothair. Now, have you read Lothair? Is that one?
No, I tried Cressley Cole. I like her Mafia. I really like that mm-hmm, Mafia mm-hmm. series. And I tried the first book in the Cressley yeah, Cole series.
That was your mistake.
And then I was like, I could not get into this. But I want to tell you, it's all about timing. It's all a season. So yes. How do I start it? Like, do I start, like, do I need to read? Okay, here's my question about this Cressley Cole series. Do I need to start at a certain point, or can I read out of order? Or is there okay. a character arc that I that overall, it's like, I know Side Changeling series is the same thing. Like, you need to read them in order. And that's intimidating when there's like 20 yeah. books or I don't know how many.
Right. I think there's like 16 or 17, maybe yeah. maybe something like that. Yeah. So I am a total hedonist and I am an anarchist and I read everything out of order. So you cannot take my advice on this unless you also live your life like a wild person like I do. But I will say this, the first one, you actually, they're all standalones. So you don't have to read them in order. I think a lot of people do recommend that you do because a lot of people are like purist about that kind of thing. I say like, follow your heart. If you don't like one, get rid of it. Try another one. See if it's more up your alley. I think the first one is the least, you know, it resembles the least of the other ones. I think that, and plus that one's from like 2006. What is that one called? It's with Lachlan and
Warlord or something.
Oh, that one even. That one. Oh yeah, that's like the novella. The Warlord wants.
Yeah, I try to read.
I don't know any of. Yeah.
I try to read that one. I was like, I don't understand any of these people.
You're like, cannot relate. Like delete. Okay. I'm going to go on a limb and say, give Lothair a try. You can try it just first thing off the bat. Now, here's what I would say about Lothair. If you want to, here's how I think you need to come into reading it. And this is what really makes the experience like a joyful experience, as opposed to like a slog or like, I don't know what the hell's going on, is that it's kind of written like an old horror film. Mm-hmm. And there's just the right amount of like kitsch and one-liners. To keep it like on the right side of comedic. So you kind of have to go into it knowing it's a little campy, right? Like it's a little bit like watching an old vampire movie. Like Lothair's got a Russian accent. He is, you know, this like luminescent vampire. There's always like, you can kind of picture the end of every chapter, like a camera zooming in on his face and him like lifting an eyebrow and saying something pithy. And that is really like, that just kind of stylistic choice that, well, I can't speak for Cressley Cole, but what I saw as like a stylistic choice, I thought was just really genius and like beautifully written. And I just love it. So I'll go to bat for it. If you hate it, you can tell me and I will apologize to you. I'll write you a letter.
I'll give it a try. So that's probably gonna be my next book in my paranormal, you know.
Did I do a good job pitching it?
You did, because I'm like, I hated the first book, I hated the other book, maybe I'll give this a try, you know.
Yeah,
you had me a vampire, you know.
Well, then that was easy. I mean, and also like, if you like a creepy hot villain guy,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I love when a writer can make me root for a creepy, weird guy. Because in real life, that is absolutely never happening, right? Like, never. So it's really getting us a moment to come out of that, like, to just live in fantasy again. Okay, I'll give you, I hope I'm not, am I talking just so much? Yeah, I'm such a...
You're fine.
Never. Okay. And then another evergreen recommendation I would give is Get a Life, Chloe Brown by Talia Hibbert. I'm sure you've read this one, right? Like, this is a classic. I love the Grumpy Sunshine mix. I love the literal saves the cat moment. Like, as a writer, that's very important to me. It's really speaking to me. You know, I love like a meta moment like that. I love the campy bucket list, the artsy male lead. And I would say there are a lot of really great comedic moments in that book as well, but it still manages to really retain so much heart. And I think that's a lot of like Talia Hibbert's writing. And I love a mean heroine with a heart of gold. I mean, I wrote one myself. Mm-hmm. A lot of people thought she was mean, and she was. But I love that. And I'm a little mean, and I like that too.
Yeah.
So I think that's all like of my book recommendation. I mean, I want to say more, like there's other ones that I've recently read, but those are like ones that I will like consistently go to. And you know, they really did happen early on. So I'm a little bit like out of touch with newer book recommendations. So this is a good chance for me to like renew my list.
It is all good. This is a good list. You gave us a paranormal, you gave us some historical, and you gave us a contemporary.
That's right.
So after we partner track, then we have these books to read.
Yeah, read my book first. Okay, guys, just help me out. I'm a new writer. So, I'm just a baby in this world, a little baby.
It is all good. So Kat, tell us where you can find you online.
So you can find me at most places at Kat Wynn Author, that's CatWynn, and then author. And I'm on TikTok kind of, and I'm kind of on Twitter. You can mostly find me on Instagram. If you like send me messages, I will respond, but like, just kind of ask a favor, because I get some messages sometimes that seem to start in the middle of a conversation. So like, I get that you read my book, but I don't know you yet. So start a conversation at the beginning of the conversation. That would do me a big favor. Had a lot of like middle, I don't know if you get this too, just like a lot of middle conversation messages that confuse me. So I'm not good at managing those. And you can also find me at my podcast at Tall, Dark, and Fictional. That's Tall, Dark, Fictional with no and on Instagram, and TDF Pod on TikTok and Twitter. Did I do a good job?
You did a great job. So now you have to go binge on her podcast after you finish this conversation. So there we go.
That's right.
Awesome. Thank you, Kat, for being on
the show. Thank you. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyourwrenextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With LibroFM, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports the local community. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. Listen with the free LibroFM app while you do your chores, walk the dog, relax at home. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen next, check out recommendations from people who know the best booksellers. The Watch Your Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on LibroFM for the price of one with your first month membership. Use code WATCHYOURREADNEXT. The offer is valid only for new members in Canada and the U.S. The Watch Your Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.